You know, last year was the first time I've missed since 1989. So I'm just so delighted to be with you. I love you, love your pastor, and thank the Lord for you. It's a blessing to be here with you. Would you turn to John 5? I don't know how to turn it on. Yeah.
I can't see, but all right. I think I got it on. I'd like to read verse 24 of John chapter 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I've entitled this message, Passed from Death to Life. Now, every word of God is important. There's nothing in this book that is of secondary importance. Every word of God is important. But when I read where our Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know He's saying something of extraordinary importance. Verily, verily, I say unto you. The Savior was not given to hype. All He said was important, but when He says this, we know that there's infinite weight behind what He's saying. This is important. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now this verse comes at the heels of verse 23. Let's read verse 23 together. He speaks where that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent Him. Now this tells me that this verse has something to do with honoring the Son of God. Now that tells us how important this is. Now first he speaks of hearing and believing. Look at it again, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Now he that heareth my word. You know, it's one thing to hear the preacher's word, and it's an altogether different thing to hear his word. He said, he that heareth my word. Look what he says down in verse 25. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, I sure am interested in hearing the voice of the Son of God, aren't you? I want to hear from Him. I don't want to merely hear a man's voice. I want to hear from Him. Now, our Lord said, he that heareth my word. What does He mean by my word? He that heareth my word. Well, it means everything He says. Everything He said. He said, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and their life. So when He speaks of hearing His word, He's speaking of every blessed word He says. Oh, how precious are His words. Now, you hear His word as His word when you hear it's His Word. Not simply the preacher's opinion. Not the denominational belief. But it's His Word. Now this is what it means to hear. It doesn't mean you hear His voice audibly. I've never heard His voice audibly. But I've heard from Him when I know that what I'm hearing is His Word. This is God's Word. It's not up for debate. It's not up for argument. This is the Word of God. Now when I hear in that manner, that's when I'm hearing His voice. Well, I'm not hearing in that manner. Then you're not hearing His voice. It really is that simple. When you hear His voice, you know this is the very truth of God that's being spoken. That's how it is to hear His voice. Now, let me show you a scripture. Here's what I'm saying. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the Word of God which you heard of us, you received it. Not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now that's what it is to hear His voice. You don't simply hear the preacher preaching and giving his thoughts and his opinions and his views of things. If that's all it is, you sure haven't heard God's voice. You've heard God's voice when you know this is the Word of Christ. This is absolute divine truth. It's not up for debate. Now notice what happens when you do hear His voice. Look back at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and here's what always accompanies hearing His word every time. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Now here's what happens every time somebody hears His word. I'm going to believe on him, God the Father that sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm going to believe. Here's who I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to believe that He sent the Son. And I'm going to believe that whatever He sent the Son to do, His Son did. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to rely on that. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me. Turn over to John chapter 17 for a moment. Verse 6, the Lord says, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they've kept thy word. Now, they've known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now let me tell you something I know surely. I know surely that the Lord Jesus Christ came from God the Father. God the Father sent Him. I know that surely. And I know that whatever the Father sent Him to do, I know He did it. He accomplished the salvation of everybody He represented. I know that. And I'm relying on that. I believe on Him who sent me. Now look what our Lord says in our text about this person who believes on Him who sent Him. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Now, if you believe on him that sent the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life in your possession right now. And all that that means. Now this everlasting life spoken of here is sometimes translated eternal life. And it's a mighty big word. It's having the life of God in your soul. Now that's an awesome thing to think about. I don't much know what that means. I mean, I talk about it. As a matter of fact, I agree with you so much. Everything I believe thoroughly what I believe, but I don't much understand it. I mean, I get a little bit of it, but having the life of God in your soul, having Christ in you, that's what everlasting life is. That's what eternal life is. Christ in you, the hope of glory, having God living in your soul, being in a state of perfection before God. And that's what you are. If you have eternal life, you're in a state of perfection before God. Hebrews 10:14 says, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now that's perfect, isn't it? That's the state. If I have this, whatever this thing of eternal, everlasting life is, I'm in a state of perfection before God. I've got the life of God in my soul. I've got Christ living in me. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 2, we read where Christ Himself is called that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Christ Himself is called eternal life. Having eternal life has something to do with not having to deal with eternal death. It has something to do with not being damned. The Lord said in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him, what? Should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life has something to do with not having to deal with eternal death. And eternal everlasting life has something to do with having the capacity to actually know God. Does the natural man have the capacity to know God? He doesn't even have a clue. Everything he thinks is wrong. He doesn't know God. But if God gives me eternal life, if I've got the life of God in my soul, if I have Christ in me, that means I actually know the living God. And He knows me. It's not just name dropping going on. I know Him. This is eternal life, our Savior said in John chapter 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Now, eternal life is a big thing, isn't it? Now, look at these two blessings He says that those people who possess eternal life have. In verse 24, He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word, he hears it as the very word of Christ, and he believes on Him that sent Me. All My eggs are in that basket that the Father sent the Son, and that He did what He sent Him to do. That person has everlasting life. And there's two blessings He speaks of. He says, first of all, they shall not come into condemnation. And secondly, they're passed from death to life. Now let's consider each of these benefits. First, He says, they shall not come into condemnation. Now I find that so attractive. I do not want to come into condemnation. What I thought about when I read that passage of Scripture, I thought about that woman in John chapter 8 where it says she was taken in adultery in the very act. I mean, she was caught red-handed. She was guilty. She did it. I mean, no question about that. And yet our Lord said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And He said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, do you find that attractive? Do you want to hear the Lord say that to you? I don't condemn you. Now, how in the world can I not be condemned? Because this thing of known condemnation, there's got to be a reason behind it. How can you not be condemned? I don't want to be condemned. Look here in John chapter 5 and verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, I don't want to have anything to do with that, do you? I don't want to be raised up to be eternally damned, and that's exactly what He's talking about. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I want to understand what this is of not being condemned. Now, how can I not come into condemnation? There's only one way that I cannot be condemned. There's only one way. You know what that is? That means if I'm not condemned, there's nothing to condemn me for. That's the only way I can not be condemned, if there's absolutely nothing to condemn me for. My record is absolutely clean. Now look what our Lord says in verse 27 of John chapter 5. It says, He hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He's the Son of Man. Now He executes judgment. Absolute, impartial justice. Everything He does is perfect. Now look, He says in verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Now this judgment that He makes, it's absolutely just. Now look what He's... Look at verse 29 again. He talks about this resurrection, the two different people that will be raised. But look what He says in verse 29, and they shall come forth, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life.
Amen.
They that have done good. Do you know that the only description there is of me is this? I have done good. Now that's the only way you're going to be accepted. I have done good. I myself have done good. All I've done is good. Now, there's only one way that this can be understood, and that's in light of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this just keeps getting bigger to me. It keeps getting more amazing, more glorious to think of this thing of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what does union mean? It means the two become one. That's what union means. The two become one. Now on the cross, my doings became His. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. My doings became His. Did they literally become His? Well, let me answer that question by asking you another question. Did He literally die? If He literally died, they literally became His. Would God... Let me ask you a question. And this I asked Lynn about this. I said, is this a right question to ask? I was just thinking about this. Can God punish a man for something he didn't do?
Never.
Is that ever going to happen? Can God punish a man for something he didn't do? Now this is how truly my doings became His. Now do I understand that? Not even close. Do I believe it? Absolutely. My doings became His. So much so that He was made to say, you can read about this in Psalm 40, mine iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. My doings became His. But just as truly as my doings literally became His, His doings literally are mine. This is who I am. This is who I am. My life, my personal life, really is described, He has done good, period. That's it. Perfect before my law. Now, did I really do good? Or is this figurative language? I really did good. That's how real union with the Lord Jesus Christ is. I really did good. This is really me. Listen to me. God does not view me as guilty, but saved and tolerated for Christ's sake. That's not how He views me. He's done good. Everything He's done is good. He is perfect. He is without sin. There's nothing to condemn Him for. Now that's what this no condemnation is all about. It's not, well, you're not going to have to be punished. God does not look at His people, well, you're guilty, but I'm going to go ahead and pardon you for Christ's sake. That's not the way God looks at His people. Not at all. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that what? Justifieth. Who is He that can condemn? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God. I'm not guilty, but treated as if I were not. I'm not guilty. That's why we shall not come into condemnation. There's nothing to condemn us for. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that is the blessing of everlasting life. And does this give you confidence? This is where my confidence comes from. It's not the strength of my faith. It's not the fact that I'm a preacher. It's that I'm without guilt before God. No condemnation. We just sang that. No condemnation now. I've read, I am my Lord's and He is mine, alive in Him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold shall I stand in that great day. For who ought to my charge shall lay, fully absolved from these I am, from sin's tremendous curse and shame. That's no condemnation. Now look what he says next. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He's got it. And he shall not come into condemnation, but he is passed from death unto life. Now this one who hears and believes is passed from death to life. Now this is not talking about changing states. You've gone from a state of condemnation to a state of justification. That's not what this is talking about at all when he speaks of. Now that is true. We were talking about that in the not being condemned. But this is not talking about changing from a state of condemnation to a state of justification. Let me show you what it's talking about. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, what's he speaking of? What is the evidence that we've passed from death to life? He says, because we love the brethren. You've passed from death to life, and here's the evidence. You now do something that a dead person cannot do. You love the brethren. You really do. Now that's the evidence of having passed from death to life. You love the brethren. You were in a state of spiritual death. Now we all have some idea of what that means. You at the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in sins. Well, what does dead in sins mean? What does total depravity mean? What does total inability mean? We use those terms. What really do they mean? Does it mean that every one of us are a would-be serial killer or a would-be pedophile or something like that? Is that what total depravity means? Well, let me say this. Apart from the grace of God, yes. Yes. Every one of those things are true. I mean, you can't describe it bad enough. I mean, but that's really not what total depravity is talking about. Total depravity, dead in sins, means that the very totality of our being, our understanding, our affections, our will, they're dominated by sin. I'm unable, like a dead man's unable to breathe, I'm unable to believe. A dead man is unable to see, I'm unable to understand the gospel. I'm totally without ability. In that sense, that's what he's talking about when he's talking about dead in trespasses and sins. But when God saves somebody, he's passed from death to life. He now is enabled by divine grace to do what he could not do. You pass from death to life when you hear his voice. You see, he has life in himself. Look in verse 26 of John chapter 5. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now, what that means is he's got independent life. You and I are so dependent, but he is absolutely independent, and that's why he can give you life. Look what it says in John 5:21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, gives them life, even so the Son quickens whom he will. Now, this is the life that he communicates. It's this passage from death to life. It's not just coming to see things differently. It's not coming to understand things clearly and having correct doctrine and so on, although that's certainly included. But that's not what the passage from death to life is. It's life from the dead. It's life that was not there before. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And this life comes through hearing the voice of the Son of God. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, I want to close with this thought. How can I know if I personally am not condemned? How can I know if I have indeed passed from death to life? Now, it seems like that's something that you ought to know real easily. But I like what you were saying about that nobody knows the exact time. You know, if you could look back to exact time and date, well, I must have, because on so-and-so date this took place. And that won't work. That just won't work. How can I know that I truly have passed from death to life, that I've got the life of God in my soul, that I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory, that I'm not going to come into condemnation, that I'm without guilt before God? How can I know that that's the case concerning me? Well, he said, he that heareth my word. Do you hear his word? Now, what I've been preaching tonight, what Brother Fortner was preaching tonight, is that some preacher's opinion, or is it God's word? Which is it? I'm not asking you to tell me what you think, but, well, maybe I am. I don't know. Here's what I'm trying to say. When you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know this is God's truth. This is the Word of God. It's not just some preacher's opinion. It's not. It's God's Word. It's the absolute divine truth, the Word of God. Now, that's what it is to hear His voice. It's not hearing His voice audibly, but it's knowing this is the Word of God. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Do you believe that God the Father sent Jesus Christ, his Son, into this world? Do you believe that? Do you have any understanding of why I sent him? What was his purpose in sending him? Well, you know he came to save his people from their sins. Do you believe he did it? Are you relying on this? that he did what the Father sent him to do, and all your eggs are in that one basket. You're not looking anywhere else. This is the only hope that you have, that he did what the Father sent him to do. Are you relying on that? Beloved, you have everlasting life, if you are. And you shall not come into condemnation. You're not guilty. You have passed from death to life. Amen.